Good evening. You are listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Gabe Shumway, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, midterms are in full swing for Northwestern students. Stanford Olson's Opera Masterclass. Students debate tote bags versus backpacks. And this week's Northwestern Sports Report and this week's edition of Well Versed, our poetry segment. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. Midterms have quickly crept upon us. As everyone crams for exams, Northwestern freshmen are optimistic, but still adjusting to the quarter system speed. Nash Phillips has the story.
Northwestern freshmen are in the thick of their very first midterm season. The quarter system can be a big adjustment for incoming freshmen and transfers coming from slower-paced high schools and semester-based schools. With an ambitious student body like Northwestern has, students won't be quick, however, to back down to this challenge. Around campus, not just in libraries, but dining halls, dorm lounges, and even outdoor benches, at least while the weather stays warm, Northwestern students can be found studying at all times of day for their exams. Despite the high stress, competitive environment, many freshmen seem to be handling the pressure of a shift to a more independent study style. Medill first-year William Chow says,
I think it's just different, like, the format of classes where, like, you only have class, like, twice a week. So it's a lot more emphasis on, like, homework and just studying on your own, which is, like, I guess different from high school where most of it's about, you know, doing work in class and stuff.
Still, the pacing of the quarter system, especially in math and science courses, can be intense. Weinberg first-year Ethan Zhang says,
Loki is a little too fast. Like, everybody went to school a month before me. I'm still taking my midterms before them.
Yeah.
But besides that, it's, like, it's pretty chill. It's not that bad.
Students quickly get the hang of midterm season, though. Communications second year, Sayuki Lane offers some advice.
Yeah, I just had a midterm last Wednesday. I would say, like, just do as much as you can and then take the test. Don't worry about it too much. There's going to be so many more tests and so many more classes, you know, that one bad grade isn't going to hurt you.
She adds that overstressing never helps anyone. Instead, focus on learning what you can. Lane's tip?
I would say, like, trying to teach the concept, like, to someone, or, like, pretending like you're teaching it to someone helps me.
Though midterms will persist through the quarter until final season, the biggest chunk of them are now behind us. Northwestern freshmen are getting accustomed to the new system, which will hopefully mean more fun and fewer late nights in the library. Happy studying, Wildcats. I'm Nash Phillips, WNUR News.
Each year, Northwestern's Beenin School of Music holds three masterclasses. Monday was the first, with Stanford Olson, a singer and Michigan professor, coming to Evanston. I've got the story on the evening's events.
There are great teachers and coaches in the world who know far more than I will ever know and are more successful than I will ever be, and who can elicit more from others than I can ever do. But part of their toolbox is sarcasm and brutality and dismissiveness, and I still think we have time for that.
If that voice sounds familiar, it might not be a coincidence.
1, 2, 3, 4.
For those who have frequented the Metropolitan Opera, among others, that's Stanford Olson. The American tenor has performed around the globe and received a Grammy nomination for his work in 1996. Today, Olson teaches music in the voice and opera department at the University of Michigan. But on Monday evening, Olson came to Evanston leading a vocal masterclass at Northwestern's Beenin School of Music. Four students performed pieces that they had been working on. Olson, using both constructive criticism and quick wit, helped the students with their work and had the audience laughing along. Yasko Ora, a lecturer of collaborative piano at Northwestern, saw this firsthand from behind the keys.
You can tell he's a teacher. You can tell that he works with young singers and students all the time because he's a approach was very nurturing and supportive, but yet constructive.
Bean and master student Jordan Haas is no stranger to Olson's methods. He performed in a master class with Olson 4 years ago and trained under one of his former students at Vanderbilt. This long-standing familiarity made Monday's class feel comfortable for Haas.
It's really interesting to sing for him now, like 4 years later, with such a different voice and like having, you know, grown so much in that time. And I feel like I have a better idea of oratorio generally and, you know, and just a more well-rounded performer. So getting to like, I think we got to work on more specific things because I'm at a different age, but it was cool to reflect on that.
A recurring theme throughout the evening was the difficulty of singing at this level. Olson stated how singers must live with their voices 24/7, while instrumentalists can put it back in a case. This environment can often be harmful for young singers looking to better their craft.
If you say to a bassoonist, you're flat, they can adjust it and play. If you say to a singer, you're flat, it means bad dog.
That's Kurt R. Hansen, a faculty emeritus at Northwestern. He taught with Olson for 2 summers in rural Castleton, Virginia. In their time together, Hansen noticed the humanity in Olson's approach shine through again and again.
It was just a pleasure to see him work and at a high level musically, but also a very high level, both artistically, but humanly. He understands how hard this is, and he's there to encourage, not just say, fix it.
Stanford Olson's approach to teaching is consistently one of compassion. He discussed his humble roots and the luck he felt in many of his early career roles. This inspires the work he does today and the approach he takes with his students, both at Michigan and in these master classes. A bit of compassion can go a long way, whether that's on stage or in everyday life.
If you think about the organism that is humanity, a little kind gesture to one person sometimes has a ripple out to other people. And certainly we're at a place and time where we all need those things. So I think as small as those things are, it's incumbent upon us all to think less selfishly and more generously. Whether offering criticism or providing service or pitching in, it may not change the way things are going in the world, but if it changes an individual life for a single day, that's time well spent, I think.
For WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway. As we head into midterm season, students are figuring out different ways to manage not only completing coursework, but also carrying course materials across campus. Savannah Bond has the story.
As Northwestern settles into the new school year, campus is crowded with students walking to class. Most carry similar items, but in a wide variety of bags. So the question arises, how do people make the important decision of what type of bag to carry? Weinberg senior Yongyu Huang can always be seen carrying a backpack during the day. For her, it's about practicality.
If I'm going to class, it's definitely a backpack just because my laptop is heavy and my iPad is heavy and I just am carrying a lot of books around with me all the time, and so I worry about the structural integrity of the tote bag generally.
Huang added that she feels backpacks are more comfortable.
If I'm going to be out for like 8 hours, I don't want to be just having all the weight on one shoulder. It's bad for your posture. So I'm definitely a big backpack proponent.
Weinberg junior Ellie Panko agreed that backpacks are better suited to carry more.
To me, my computer just doesn't feel safe in a tote bag. And also I want to be able to like carry more stuff because I don't know every day like what I'm going to be doing. And sometimes like I need more things and I don't want to have to like go back to my dorm to like put things in that wouldn't fit in a tote bag.
Weinberg senior Chloe Campbell prefers to carry a purse.
My old backpack, it feels like it's like clunky on my back and like I get like sweaty and stuff, and so like I don't know, it's just on my shoulder.
However, her main motivations were aesthetic.
I just like the red leather bag look. I feel like it goes with a lot of things. It's very like fall.
Weinberg junior Riley Hawes also uses a tote bag for its stylishness.
I think I like the way it looks. I did a backpack in high school, and I feel like, to be honest, like a tote bag makes me feel like a real adult.
And while perceived maturity is a reason to get behind tote bags, Panko said she observed that tote bags are often chosen for their uniqueness.
I do think it's interesting how, like, I feel like tote bags have kind of become more of, like, a statement of personality now. And I'm, like, curious if, like, backpacks had that appeal, if people would, like, be more interested in backpacks over tote bags. Like, they have a bag that shows, like, a trip they went on, like, a tote bag from Paris, or they have, like, a tote bag that has, like, a musical artist on it. And I wonder if, like, that was on a backpack, if it would be, like, a similar thing.
And while she's often a backpack user, Huang takes up a tote bag or two when not in class. She says she has a collection of them, each acquired for their design, including some she got from various organizations at Northwestern.
I also have an NU Asian tote bag here. I used to be on staff for NU Asian. I'm a big fan of their designs. They have cute merch.
So whether attending classes, studying in the library, or going around the town, Northwestern students make a statement with the baggage they bring with them. For WNUR, this is Savannah Bond.
With October already half over, Wildcats sports are starting to hit the home stretch. Here's Brenton Priceman with the sports report.
Hi, I'm Brenton Priceman. As we creep further into the month of October, it's starting to get spooky for a lot of teams. The ends of the regular seasons are only about a month away, so it's time to lock in. Here's your NU sports report for the week. The defending champions were rolling. Northwestern field hockey kicked off its title defense with an 11-0 record, including 9 victories by multiple goals. Then number 8 Princeton came to town. The Tigers stunned Northwestern 3-2 on Monday afternoon, giving Tracy Fuchs' squad its first loss of the season. Not only that, but the defeat is the first regular season loss for the Wildcats since August 27th of 2023. The game is the first all year in which Northwestern has allowed multiple goals, mainly thanks to Princeton scoring on 3 of its 4 penalty corners. First-year goalkeeper Juliana Bone performed admirably, with 5 saves, but couldn't quite stem the Tigers' attack. The Cats are confident this defeat will just be a blip on the radar, but they'd better be right. Northwestern managed to stay number 1 in the latest coaches poll, released on Tuesday, but teams like North Carolina and Virginia are charging hard. To make matters worse, the Wildcats' next 3 opponents are Rutgers, Maryland, and Michigan. All 3 Big Ten squads are currently in the coaches poll top 15. But Northwestern has the top scoring margin in the country for a reason, and the Wildcats should be able to get back on track in a big way this coming week. Speaking of tracks, David Braun's team is remaining firmly on track, and the destination just might be his second bowl game as Northwestern's head coach. The Wildcats have now won 3 games in a row, and 4 of their last 5. The latest victory was a 22-21 stunner on the road over preseason number 2 Penn State, which fired head coach James Franklin on Monday. Thanks to its strong defense, Northwestern was named the Pop-Tarts Crazy Good Team of the Week. However, the Wildcats are not resting on their laurels. The last time Northwestern won 4 consecutive regular season games was in 2020, when the team started 5-0 en route to a berth in the Big Ten title game in the COVID-shortened season. In order to match that mark, the Wildcats have to make sure they stay composed, no matter who they're playing. While the team is favored in a home matchup against Purdue this Saturday, Braun is refusing to let his team lose focus. "Comfort is the enemy," he said Saturday evening. "It's time to get back to work." Speaking of getting back to work, Northwestern women's soccer has a big opportunity to keep on working all the way into the postseason. In the expanded Big Ten, only 10 of the 18 teams make the conference tournament, and the Wildcats currently sit at 10th on the table. After opening conference play with 4 straight draws, Northwestern has won 2 of its last 3 matches. However, the upcoming schedule will not be kind to the Wildcats' postseason hopes. Tomorrow night, they take on Illinois, which is 3rd in the conference, at home, before traveling to Purdue for a Sunday showdown. After that, Northwestern will close the season in Evanston against Wisconsin, currently 4th in the Big Ten. If the Wildcats are somehow able to snare 2 victories in that stretch, they should be able to secure a spot in the postseason. that wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Brendan Prizman, WNUR News.
Feeling stressed about exams? This poetry segment is dedicated to helping you feel seen. Hannah Javed is here to read.
Midterms at Northwestern have been a stressful time, and as exam days approach, students are nervous as ever. Welcome to WNUR News' poetry segment, where you'll hear timely poetry readings to help you start fresh. This poem about the stress students feel before exams is by Krishna Kant, a lecturer in English who writes poetry in English and Hindi. This is Examination Stress. Dear students, examinations are around the corner. Prepare well for them, whether it's later or sooner. Always treat examinations as festival and never feel stressed. But never leave any stone unturned and with mind harnessed. Whole life is an examination and everyone's part. It begins from childhood and until we all lastly depart. Life is real. Life is a roller coaster to make us fearful. Success gives us happiness, but failure is always tearful. Stitch in Time Saves Nine is popular and proven fact. It's always better late than never should be tacked. Adopt a mantra of early to bed, early to rise, and be punctual. This popular saying should be way of life and a ritual. Be determined and have an iron will, and with all you might, may your life be prosperous and may your future be bright. Wish you all good luck and brilliant success and glory. Never keep any test phobia and not even a bit of worry. Thank you for listening to Well Versed. And remember that stress and anxiety are perfectly normal, especially around this time. There are lots of mental health services on campus and healthy habits like taking a walk or biking along Evanston and Chicago's beautiful trails. For WNUR News, I'm Hannah Java.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. It has finally begun to feel like fall as the highs drop into the low 60s over the next few days. While the leaves remain green, that is also soon to change. For those who brought umbrellas this morning, they can be tucked away until Saturday. Now taking a look at into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Northwestern's quest for a way to reduce paper cup waste may have found its newest solution. Allison Dining Hall now has a shelf of ceramic mugs called the Re-Mug Wall. Two new Chicago restaurants, Creepy's and Chef's Table at Astro Club, have been added to the Michelin Guide's recommended list. The Trump administration has authorized covert CIA action in Venezuela. This comes during a campaign against Nicolas Maduro, Venezuela's authoritarian leader. The U.S. is reportedly also considering strikes on Venezuelan territory. The World Health Organization has launched an upgraded AI-enhanced global system for early detection of health threats, offering improved data sources to combat global epidemics. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WNUR News, and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Nash Phillips, Savannah Bond, Brendan Priceman, Hannah Javed, and myself, Gabe Shumway. Catch our next newscast Friday, October 17th. And now, back to scheduled programming.